Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush Edition with Noel and Chuck.
How are you today, Chuck?
I'm great, man. We're
good.
We're burning the candle at both ends lately.
Big time. Big time.
Hard to get time in here together.
It's the thing they say about the hours in the day. It's true.
Yeah.
There's not enough.
I know. You like being busy?
I do. I like what I'm working on right now. It's all very exciting and interesting stuff, but yeah. There are times where it's like, I want to like go to Hawaii or something and just go off the grid. Apparently, flights are really cheap right now, you know, but with all the flowing hot lava everywhere.
Are they cheap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. People taking advantage of natural disaster. USA all the way.
Seriously. Freedom isn't free.
All right, everybody, welcome. We're going to get started right out of the gate this week with social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
And this week I asked what your favorite little-known movie is, knowing that this is subjective, what your idea of little-known is. But the idea here was, folks, was that we could get a really good recommended viewing list going for everybody. So this is one I usually take down the post as soon as I have enough for the show, because I don't want it to be spoiled, and I don't want people, I feel bad if people keep adding things to the list after I've already quit, after I've stopped taking suggestions.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'm leaving it up there. So if you go to the Facebook page and look at the post and look for the little known movie post, you will find hundreds now of recommended films, little known films.
Such a cool Facebook community we got going on there.
It's great.
With the crushers.
It is great. And so I'm going to read 20 of these off in short order. Won't spend too much time on them so we can get through them all. Rachel Stewart says, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen from Terry Gilliam was my favorite movie as a child. Visually stunning and super surreal. Yes, Rachel, I would say that's somewhat little known.
I remember seeing it in the theater when I was a kid, actually.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, Uma Thurman is like the Venus de Milo and the shell and all that.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
Agreed. Jason Corrington says, In Bruges, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, and Ralph Fiennes. Such an incredible dark comedy. I think it's one of Colin Farrell's best films. Jason, I couldn't agree more. In Bruges is terrific. Ashley Yvette Bartlett says, I have a Hedwig and the Angry Inch tattoo. When people ask about it, and I tell them, they always say, what's that? Ashley, you are doing it right. Send us a picture of that tattoo.
Yeah, I want to know what. There's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
Is it a gummy bear?
Gummy bear. Man, I love that movie.
So good.
Rob Dickinson says, one of mine would be Safety Not Guaranteed. I talked about that on this very show, Rob.
Is that the time travel Aubrey Plaza?
Really good one.
Small movie? Yeah.
Such a great little adventure, Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass. Highly recommended. Bevan Woodacre. Or Bevan Woodacre, Waiting, starring Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris. This is the movie about a restaurant, I believe, where they were waiters. He says, ultra crass, but very funny. Supporting cast is pretty great, too. Yes, it centers around the waitstaff and a Bennigan-style restaurant. And quite a few people commented to Bevan that they love this movie, too. So I'm going to check it out. Never saw it. I do love me some Ryan Reynolds and Anna Faris, actually.
The new Deadpool movie is a hoot.
I still haven't seen it, man.
I like
we need
it a
to
lot.
Do that in Crush to Judgment.
Let's do it. Oh, let's do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got my movie pass, by the way. I used it for the first time on Deadpool 2.
Well, that should be good for the 3 months before they go out of business.
Well, you know, I got to get it while I can get it, buddy.
Trying to get Anna Faris on the show, by the way. I'm going to L.A. next week and have some very exciting interviews lined up, including everybody. I got Georgia and Karen from My Favorite Murder. They're going to be on to talk about Silence of the Lambs.
Nice.
As a My Favorite Murder special episode. And it's going to be just off the hook. It's going to be so great. So look forward to that. Benjamin Johnston says, Frailty from 2001. I agree, dude. Criminally underseen. Great movie.
That's a McConaughey, right?
Yeah, McConaughey had a role. Bill Paxton directed it. May have written it and starred in
it.
The late, great Bill Paxton.
Ah, my heart.
Psychological thriller. It is the way he tells the story. Really, really good movie. Agreed. Timothy Shaw's is Breaking Away. Wonderful film. 1979, filmed entirely in Bloomington, Indiana. Very American film. Simple but powerfully authentic. Agreed, Timothy. It's about, it's a coming-of-age movie, but centered around a bike racing team. Really good film. Rich Dudley, Murder by Death. A bunch of people said Murder by Death from 1976.
Is that Peter Sellers?
Peter Sellers, it's a Neil Simon film, Alec Guinness, Peter Falk, Maggie Smith, Eileen Brennan, James Cromwell, Truman Capote, Murder by Death. I believe it's an Agatha Christie thing.
It's like one of those drawing room, like they turn off the lights and someone's dead kind of thing, like Clue.
I've always wanted to write one of those. Ashley Reynolds says, obvious child. I haven't seen this yet, Ashley. I know the movie of which you speak from a few years ago. I believe Jenny Slate stars. Incredible movie about the strength of women and female friendship. Ashley, that is on my list for sure. I heard it's great. Aaron Burke says, Ink, a near-perfect indie movie with a beautiful message. No one has heard of it, and everyone I show it to loves it. Powerful, great soundtrack, and visually striking. And here's the little log line. A mysterious creature known as Ink steals a child's soul in hopes of using it as a bargaining chip to join the Incubi, the group of supernatural beings responsible for creating nightmares. And a bunch of people commented on his. So Ink is on my list now, buddy. Thank you, Aaron. Steve Parks' Primer, agreed. Very inventive sci-fi movie made for like under $10,000. Did you see Primer?
Yeah, it's a tough one to follow on first go round, but it rewards you with repeated viewings.
Yeah, agreed. Hard sci-fi if you're into that. Chris Rupp, The Way Way Back. I agree. Love this movie. It's a great coming of age story with an even better cast. If you like Sam Rockwell, water parks, beach houses, and bench seats and station wagons, this is the movie for you. Agreed, Chris. I thoroughly enjoyed that. My buddy Sarah Murphy Robertson, good friend of mine from way back in Atlanta. She says, Stealing Home, the Jodie Foster and Mark Harmon baseball movie. Jonathan Silverman, super young, Helen Hunt, and the late, great Harold Ramis. It came out when I was in the eighth grade, so that likely factors into my love for this movie, but I stand by it. Friendship, love, loss, baseball, and the soundtrack, too. Sighing and swooning over this one since 1988. Sarah, I agree. Very, very sweet movie, Stealing Home. Good one, and hi. All right, this is a great name. Akemi Yamaguchi says, Little Voice. Did you see that?
No. I'm surprised at how I do not know a lot of these.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're little numbers.
Well, you know, it's good.
Really great film. I totally agree with you. Akemi, Brenda Bledin, Michael Caine. Wait, how do you say it?
That's my cocaine.
My cocaine.
That's not your cocaine. That's my cocaine.
And Ewan McGregor, Jim Broadbent, and Jane Horrocks, of course, as quote unquote little voice. Really, really good movie. Simon Yates, maybe not so well known in the U.S., With Nail and Eye. I agree.
Fun one. Good road movie.
Yep.
Yep.
Arguably Richard E. Grant's finest hour. Poignant, highly quotable comedy. Yeah, Simon, and every Brit I know loves that movie. It's a Brit fave.
Mm-hmm.
Four more here. Gabriel Ferrer says, Never Let Me Go, with Carey Mulligan and many others. Amazing, amazing tragic movie. It'll stick with you. I have not seen it yet, Gabriel, but my wife loved it, and I'm going to check it out. And I believe it was written by the guy who did Ex Machina and the other new one. What's
Annihilation?
Annihilation.
No way.
I think he wrote it.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because it has a sci-fi bent to it.
Oh, cool.
John McKellop says, The One I Love, starring Mark Duplass and Elizabeth Moss. I did see this one, John, and I liked it a lot.
That's the one where they're in the house and there's an alternate dimensional kind of thing going on?
Yeah, it's a story about a couple trying to save their marriage, and they rent a cabin as a weekend getaway, and some really weird stuff happens.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Good movie. Krista Price says, Love and Sex, with John Favreau and Famke Janssen. Such a wonderfully acted, amazing look at relationships. Krista, this is one of my wife's favorite all-time movies. I should let you know that. Emily loves Love and Sex. Brianna Taylor, Brick by Rian Johnson. Oh, yeah. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Love the mystery storyline and how it shot. Yeah, Rian Johnson, it was clear right out of the gate with Brick that he was a special filmmaker.
Agreed.
Really good movie. And finally, Jonathan Stowe says, Stranger Than Fiction. Definitely Will Ferrell's best acting role. Yeah, man, this was a great movie, and it was really kind of under the radar, starring Will Ferrell. Really, really good, really good movie. Highly recommended. So that's 20, everyone, but there are many, many more. We've got a great list going, so go check it out on the Facebook page. And we'll keep it going with the recommendations with recommended viewing this week, where I recommend a documentary, an indie film, and a foreign film. Documentary. It's called Sherman's March. You ever seen this one, Noel?
Does he march to the sea?
Well, no.
Okay, nope.
That was the idea, though. So this was from, mid-'80s, 87, a documentarian named Ross McElwee. He set out to make a documentary about General Sherman's march to the sea, but what he ended up making was a documentary about his love life and his lack of luck with the ladies.
Huh.
He had just come off a breakup, I think, started making this movie, and it became about himself and in a way that's very funny. And he just meets these women as he travels around the South to the famous places where Sherman marched to the sea. Savannah's in there. He meets various women along the way and falls in love here and there and is unrequited many times.
Sounds cool.
Very funny movie. Yeah. It's sort of a classic. It was selected for the National Film Preservation Registry. It won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance in 87. So it's sort of one of these legendary documentaries that has stood the test of time. Very much of its time for 1987, the way it looks and sounds, but really, really funny stuff. It's kind of hard to describe, but check out Sherman's March if you can. Indie film, I'm going to go with Slacker. I know last week I talked about Richard Linklater, so I'll go ahead and dive a little deeper on Slacker. It was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize, Dramatic, at the Sundance Film Festival in 1991. And it follows a single day in the life of an ensemble of people in Austin, Texas. These bohemian, artistic misfits in Austin, Texas. And like I said in the previous episode, it doesn't have a traditional character arc for any character or story arc. Nothing ever comes back around, really. It's a story about a time and a place, which is Austin, Texas, in the early 90s, which is very much like Athens, Georgia, in the early 90s, where I was. The film opens with Richard Linklater himself. He is the guy in the back of the cab who gets picked up at the bus station. And it's just a very talky movie, you know. There's just a lot of scenes of people talking about stuff. There's great weirdos. There's deep philosophical discussions. There's kind of silly stuff here and there. But really, really captures the time and place better than most films I've seen, and was a watershed indie film in the early 90s. It kind of helped kick off the 90s indie film movement. So check out Slacker. I'm going to watch it again. I've been talking about it so much.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'll check it out.
Really good. And a great ending. He has this really wonderful little scene in the end. And then foreign film, hold on to your hats, everyone, but I'm going to recommend the film Naked, Mike Leigh's tough, tough movie from 1993, a British film. Introduced me to both Mike Leigh and the great actor David Thewlis, who played Johnny in the movie. They won Best Director and Best Actor at the Cannes Film Festival that year. And in warning, it is a tough film to get through, everyone. It is very raw, very visceral, sometimes violent film about a day in the life of a kind of a bad man named Johnny. And I don't want to give away too much. It's one of these movies you just should experience. But it's a tough one, but well worth undertaking. And if you like Mike Leigh, then you've probably seen it. But if not, it is not quite like the rest of his films.
What are some of his other movies?
He did Secrets and Lies, and he's well known to make these very sort of, I want to say like talky British films that are relationship-based. Mm. Great filmmaker. I'm trying to think of what he did recently, but I can't think. But Naked isn't something you should check out if you've got the stomach for it. And then, Noel, we are going to finish up this week with comment card. As always, the questions from you to us. Brianna Linville says, do you think a movie's soundtrack and score is as important as it used to be? Like, I hear Star Wars, I think of John Williams. I hear Halloween and Jaws, and I'll even include Top Gun soundtrack, even though it was campy. It just doesn't seem it's like that anymore.
I don't know, man. You should just listen to a show we do on the How Stuff Works Network called The Soundtrack Show.
Yeah, true.
That breaks down a lot of that stuff. And it does go into some newer movies, too, like The Lord of the Rings, for example. Those have a real recognizable theme.
I don't know that I could pick that score out.
It's kind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which sounds like all those other movies we're talking about, too. Sounds like Back to the Future, Superman, and Star Wars all
like
rolled into one.
Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with her. I don't. Huh. Maybe it's because I'm not a kid, but it seems to me like these iconic scores aren't happening anymore.
Well, Harry Potter, You know that one. Dun, 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 dun.
No, I've never seen any of those
dun, 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 dun. But you know the damn Harry Potter theme.
I don't think I do.
Well, it is. It's very prominent in all the movies.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, I think it depends on the movie. We're
talking whether or not you make 12 of them.
Whether or not you make 12 of them, and whether or not it's some kind of big, giant tent pole. Like the Avengers movies has a trumpet kind of theme.
I guess I would recognize, if someone played me the Avengers score, I'd probably recognize it.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't strike me as like, no, man, that was Star Wars or Superman or, I don't know.
Well,
is it nostalgia?
I think it is nostalgia, Chuck. I think there's something to do, those are so ingrained in you because of your experience with them being younger or whatever. But right. I don't know. I just don't think that's fair to say that they're not important, because they're certainly like, I'm more of a fan of soundtracks that are more atmospheric.
Sure. Yeah, which is won't leave you with an iconic like
not so much
set piece in your head.
Right.
All right, Brianna, I kind of agree with you. No, not so much.
Screw you guys.
Sarah Nagy says, do you miss the concept of owning, collecting DVDs? I was so proud of my collection, but now they just seem to take up space and they're obsolete, and I miss the special features. Sarah, for sure. You know, the old wall of DVDs was when you meet a person, go over to their house, and they say, I got to use the restroom for a minute. That and the bookshelf are two things that will tell you a lot about a person.
Mine's my LPs.
Sure.
That's what I collect. All my DVDs, I got rid of a bunch of them, and I have the rest of them are just like in a drawer.
Yeah.
But I can't bring myself to toss them.
I know. I got boxes of them.
I'll never play them ever again. I'll never watch a physical DVD ever again.
And I used to love like director's commentary and all the deleted scenes,
sure.
But I just don't watch any of that stuff anymore.
Our buddy Casey Pegram is a collector of all the Criterion Blu-rays,
sure,
which I get.
Now
there's even the 4K, you know,
and
for like, you know, remastered old films, I can see the value in that, but it's just not me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sarah. It's something we've lost, I believe, just like the liner notes of a great record. Just one of those things.
You know, I haven't lost those though, Chuck. I have tons of them.
Well, I do too, but do you buy all your new music on LP?
Yes.
You do?
Exclusively.
Oh, okay.
And I buy a lot. I mean, that's my nerd thing.
That's good. But I think generally speaking, it has been lost to time, except for LP nerds.
Cool.
Matt Poole says, why do you think Danny Boyle is so rarely mentioned during talks of the most consistently on-point modern filmmakers? I'm with you, Matt. I don't know why. I think Danny Boyle is a master filmmaker.
You don't think people are talking about Danny Boyle?
I don't hear his name mentioned a lot like that. I think when people start talking about Danny Boyle,
they're
like, oh yeah, Danny Boyle's great.
Well, you know what? His last thing was a big flop. He did the Steve Jobs movie.
Was that a flop?
It was a big flop.
Well, creatively or everything?
It didn't do well, and I think people said it was dull.
I liked it.
I didn't see it, but I just know that it, you know, maybe that's why they're not talking about it.
And you know, weirdly, what I did not see yet is the Trainspotting sequel.
You know what? That was more recent than the Jobs thing, and I didn't either. And I love Trainspotting.
I did too.
And I love the idea of this movie.
I do too.
But why haven't we seen it, Chuck?
I don't know, man. Let's get a speedball and go watch that thing.
Seriously.
I don't even know what a speedball is.
It's heroin and cocaine.
Oh, good Lord. No, thank you. I thought it was like a snack or something.
Like a popcorn ball.
But Matt, I totally agree, man. Danny Boyle is an underrated filmmaker, in my opinion.
He's incredible.
Maybe because he hasn't won an Oscar yet or something.
He's also like really versatile. Like he's got
so
amazing
versatile.
Sci-fi. He's got amazing like gritty crime type stuff. He can do heartfelt stuff as well.
Yeah,
he did
the Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire. He did win an Oscar for it. That won all kinds of Oscars.
I don't think he won Best Director, did he?
Not Best Director, but that won a ton of Oscars.
And
for
then
sure.
the one with. What's his face getting stuck in the rock? 100 and however many hours.
Yeah, the one where he cuts his arm off with a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Was that a spoiler? I think everyone knows that about that.
Everyone knows that.
Okay, cool. That's sort of what the movie's about.
Another good movie. William Enga says, is it hard for you to watch a movie and enjoy it for what it is? I mean, without thinking about the fact that you know the actor or maybe worked with the director. Or anything else that might take you out of a film. Well, William, I don't have a lot of experience with that as far as knowing directors and actors personally. But I know what you're talking about. Sometimes certain iconic faces can take me out of a movie where I think, man, they should have just casted an everyman instead of this famous person, especially when it's a biopic. You know, like you're watching a biopic and you think all I see is Joaquin Phoenix, not Johnny Cash. Although, I don't know why I use that example because I thought he was great. And I did forget I was watching Joaquin Phoenix, actually.
In which one?
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line. Yeah, yeah. He definitely disappeared in that role. Yeah. He did a good job.
Dan Snyder, who's the best leading man of all time? Jeez, that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm a big Clooney guy.
You like the Cloons?
Love him.
The Cloonster?
Yeah, for leading man, like that indicates a certain gravitas.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yes, obviously yes, but do you think, why is it important? Who cares? I'd rather have a falling behind man, you know? I like an underdog.
Oh, yeah, as far as, like, identifying.
Yeah.
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 But Dan is just wondering who we think is the best leading man.
I like a Brad Pitt here and there.
I like me some Brad
I
Pitt.
I like some Pitt.
Sure.
I see what you mean about Clunes, though. He does have a certain gravitas.
Yeah.
And he doesn't usually pick stinkers.
No.
He hasn't, you know?
He can afford to not pick stinkers.
Right.
And he has good taste. We'll do two more here. Christine Fordham says, what movie or franchise do you think is ripe for being remade? Ooh. They should just remake all those Justice League movies with the people who did the Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's legally sticky, though, I think.
I'm trying to think. What franchise do you think is ripe for being remade?
Well, it's Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of...
They failed at every attempt, right?
They failed at every attempt. There's plenty of source material there. I'd love to see someone do that right.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Or movie... How about this? Remake The Warriors in a good way.
Sure. I've never seen The Warriors.
No, you've got a lot. Dude,
that's why I'm here, Chuck. I'm here to learn.
All right, we'll finish up with Frank Menino. You clearly watch a lot of movies from your lifetime. Not quite sure what that means. But do you ever feel like your knowledge of older classics... Oh, in my lifetime, I get you. Knowledge of older classics is lacking. I often hear you reference well-known older movies that you haven't seen. Well, you're right. That's true. And I have said that on the show, that I need to watch more older films. My friend Stacy, she's a costume designer, and she watches almost exclusively older films. That's not true. She'll watch newer films, but she's seen them all, man. Movies from the 40s and 50s, the 30s. She knows all the Turner Classic movie genre inside and out. And I'm always jealous when I talk to her because she just goes on and talks about, you know, all these stars of days gone by.
Yeah.
Real big movie stars that I just know about but haven't really experienced.
I'm right there with you, Chuck. Yeah, I haven't seen, like, I mean, a lot of those really high production value musicals from the golden age, those would be fun to check out. Like the Busby Berkeley choreography with the camera kind of going through the ceiling and all that stuff.
Rain.
I haven't either. No, I haven't seen a lot of that stuff.
I need to see some of that.
I've never seen
great
Cleopatra. I've never seen Spartacus, dude.
I haven't either. I've seen, you know, my share of Hitchcock.
Sure.
He's the exception.
Yeah, same.
And quite a few here and there. Or, you know, Touch of Evil and Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, stuff like that.
Right.
So it's not like I've not seen any of them, but there is a large gap that I need to fill in my film going.
I'm right there with you.
And it's called Black and White, Hays Code, Mid-Atlantic accented films.
Hey. That's good.
All right. I think that's a good week.
Oh, for sure. Screep! Hey, it's Noel from the future. I'm chiming in here just to let you know that your homework assignment for this week, watch Silence of the Lambs. You know Buffalo Bill. You know what he'd do to himself. Yeah, watch it. It's fun. And then you can hear Chuck talk about it with the ladies of My Favorite Murder, which is one of Chuck's personal favorite podcasts. And I know he was super excited to get that done. All right, future Noel out.